Welcome back to the SEC Media Days in Birmingham, Alabama. Frank Frangie joined by Jimmy Himes because, well, that's the law. How are you, brother?
I'm doing great. I love being part of the law.
Yeah, you're part of the law.
Law and order.
Yeah, that's right. By the way, this fall will be 24 years. Jimmy and
wow.
I have done it. 24 years we've done this together. 24.
And we don't look like we've been doing this
for
24
years. No, we look young.
Years.
We look young.
Yes, we do. You know what? Somebody asked me today if I colored my hair.
I get that question all the time.
Do you? Yeah. It was John Adams who asked me, by the way. Guy that I've been around every day for the last 30 years.
That's funny.
I want to know if I colored my hair. Good gracious.
All right, Jimmy, a lot to talk about in the world of SEC football. Give me an overview. What's jumped off the page before we get to specific here?
I have changed my thought process on what's going to happen in the East Division. I went in believing Georgia. I'm leaning toward Florida. I think Florida's going to have a really good football team. They've been able to win the East Division with inadequate quarterback play. I think the quarterback play is going to be a little bit better. I like the supporting cast with receivers and running backs. The offensive line's better. I think the defense is going to be better than a lot of people anticipate. They look at some of the players that have been lost at Florida.
Right.
I look at some of the players returning.
Right.
And I think the defense is going to be one of the top four in the league. And they get LSU at home, so that's working out for them. They've got Georgia's number. I think Florida wins head-to-head against Georgia because Florida's going to beat them at the line of scrimmage. So I have switched my pick to Florida with Georgia next, Tennessee third.
All right, let's talk about the East a little bit. I agree with you on Florida. I'm going to pick Florida, too. I have no idea what to expect from their quarterback situation, but I do sense that Florida's going to have a very good football team. And I think they're going to have the best team in the East. And Georgia, I think Georgia's very good, too, but it's in their head a little bit. So let's start with Georgia. Georgia lost a lot of games last year, more than they thought. We had Kirby Smart on. Kirby, and I don't blame him, he does want to make sure everybody knows he only had one guy drafted. So maybe they didn't have as much talent as people think. Were they not as good from a talent standpoint as people thought they were?
I think they were pretty good from a talent standpoint. They could have easily had five players drafted, but several of them decided to come back. Lorenzo Carter, outside linebacker, several others that could have gone pro, that could have been drafted. The running backs could have been drafted if they had turned pro. So the talent was still there. It's going to be there this year. Watch the draft this upcoming year. It's kind of like Tennessee a couple of years ago had nobody drafted. But if Barnett, if some of the others had decided to go pro, whether it's Jalen Reeves-Maven or Cam Sutton or some of these guys, they could have had several players drafted. So it's more of a timing issue than a talent issue, in my opinion. I think Georgia has plenty of talent. I think they had it last year.
What about Tennessee? Tennessee had the year of all years last year. It didn't really happen for them. Butch Jones said it wasn't disappointing. Well, of course it was disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
But what now? I do get the sense now that they kind of have a better roster, not necessarily than last year, but than they've had during this stretch. Is the pressure off him a little bit?
No. The pressure's not off of him. The pressure is actually probably being ramped up a little bit because a lot of folks are saying, boy, you missed a window of opportunity. You should have won it last year. You beat the teams you needed to beat, Florida and Georgia, and then inexplicably losing to South Carolina and Vanderbilt. Did Tennessee have injuries? Yes, they did, but you still should have been able to beat South Carolina and Vanderbilt with a lot on the line. The previous year, Tennessee had a great chance to win it also. They blew a 13-point lead in the last, 8 minutes against Florida. Could have, should have won that game. So now people are looking at it like, this is year five. When are you going to do it? You've done a good job, a very good job of rebuilding the team, rebuilding the roster. Can you now take that next step? And last year, Tennessee was supposed to take it. They didn't. So there's a little bit of heat on Butch from that perspective. Now, while he says last year wasn't a disappointment, I can't find too many players that will say otherwise. They thought it was a disappointment because the goal was to win the East, and they didn't get it done.
What gets him fired this year? 6-6?
6-6 gets him fired. 7-5, I wouldn't want to be in his shoes. 8-4, he's safe. So 7-5 is the one that's a little bit iffy. If it's 7-5 and you lose those five games by 30 points each, you're probably gone. If you lose those five by an average of 7 points, you're probably okay. That, to me, is the iffy part. Here's the other part. Right now, Tennessee has the number 3 rated recruiting class in the country. It's the best class in the SEC right now. Of course, that could change. So if you're on the bubble a little bit and you're the athletic director and you look at that recruiting class, do you blow it up? Or do you see, you know what, Tennessee actually looks like they're going to be better next year than this year. I'm not in the ballpark that says Tennessee has more talent than a year ago. I don't think they do. Because I don't think you can take Dobbs away and Kamara away and Malone away and Barnett and say you have more talent. They have a lot of good players. Watch the draft next year. They won't have 6 players taken in the first 4 rounds. Watch the all-SEC teams. How many players from Tennessee will be on it? I bet you it won't be more than 3, even if you go 3 deep.
Good point. South Carolina, I think, has got a better team than I thought they'd have at this point. I think Will Muschamp's going to be okay there. I think they will compete with Tennessee for that third spot in the East. You?
I do, too. I think they will compete. Beat Tennessee a year ago. Probably shouldn't have, but they did.
Right.
I like the quarterback. I think Jake Bentley, he finds a way to win. He had a terrific bowl game, even though they lost. He played well against Tennessee. He outperformed Josh Dobbs in that game head-to-head. Defensively, they're going to get a little bit better. They get Sky Moore back. He's a very good player. Offensively, they've got some good skilled people. They've got nice running backs. They've got a couple of nice receivers, a really good tight end. So I think South Carolina is going to be a tough out for a lot of teams, including Tennessee.
Jimmy Himes with this talk in SEC football. You'll hear him every Thursday throughout the course of the season, as you always do. Let's go to the West. It feels like we just had Nick Saban on. It feels like Alabama and everybody else. It is Alabama and everybody else. Yet I wonder if Auburn closes the gap a little bit. We used to ask that question about LSU. When Manziel was there, we started asking it about A&M. It didn't happen. Can Auburn close the gap a little bit? How do you see those two teams?
I do. I think Auburn will close the gap. And I think that because I think Jared Stidham is going to be a very productive quarterback. Look, Gus Malzahn has to have a really productive guy at the quarterback position for him to be good. And I know a couple of years ago, I was at Jeremiah Johnson, whoever it was,
yeah.
He was talking about it was going to be great, and he wasn't any good.
Right.
So they took a big step back. But I think Stidham, based on Baylor, based on junior college, I think he's going to be really good. They have a good running attack. They have they're decent on the offensive line. Their defensive line, they lost some people, but I think their defense was pretty good under Kevin Steele. I don't think you'll see a second year in a row where everybody in the SEC has at least four losses except Alabama. And I think Auburn is the biggest challenge, in my opinion, the biggest challenge to Alabama. And I think LSU could be the next biggest challenge. I know a lot of people are panning the hire of Ed Orgeron or looking at the quarterback situation, other things. LSU still has some good players. They may not go as deep as they did, but I think Orgeron, I think he's got three things going. One, he recruits well. Secondly, he gets players to play hard. And third, he's got good coordinators. If you got those three, you can win a lot of games. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to beat Alabama, but it means you're going to win a lot of games and you'll be a tough out for other teams as well.
Jimmy, I've been covering the league since probably mid-'80s. Got out of college in 1980 and covered. You're probably about the same, right? Covering the league since mid-'80s, give or take, late 80s.
A little earlier, but we didn't need to go into that. I do not color my hair.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you color your hair?
No, I do not color my hair.
But you've been doing this. You've done this a long time, and I've done this a long time. In my time covering it, you know, in the 80s, it was Georgia and Auburn back and forth a little bit. Then the 90s, then the 2000s, then now. I thought in my time, the Florida dynasty in the 90s was the best dynasty I ever saw. They won the league 4 years in a row and 5 out of 6. You win a league 5 out of 6 years, you're dominating the league. I think this one's even better, though. I think Florida dominated people because they had really good players, but I'm not sure their players were head and shoulders better than Tennessee's at that stretch. Spurrier was
and they were
their,
not.
The, Spurrier's in their head a little bit. I think Alabama is just outmanning everybody more than I've ever seen. A, do you agree that it's the best dynasty or the most dominant dynasty in our professional lifetimes? And B, why? Why are they so much better than everybody?
Well, it is the best dynasty in our professional lifetime. I wasn't doing this in the 60s when Bear Bryant had it going on.
Right.
And that was a pretty good dynasty, too.
Yeah, you're right.
But I think it's the best. One, I think the SEC is better now than it was in the 60s because everybody cares. You know why? Because it means more.
It does mean more.
It means
more,
Frank.
I saw it on the side of the building.
I did see it
in
big letters.
Yeah.
So it means more. But everybody's trying to win. So the league is tougher now. There are more good teams. And there are some really good coaches that make over $4 million. I think Alabama does it because Saban has got the formula. He goes out and he recruits the heck out of people. He maximizes his talent for the most part. He's got a tough system to beat. He's going to get the most out of his players typically. And he doesn't have a whole lot of 4 and 5 stars that are bust. Tennessee's had a number of those guys that haven't been as good as advertised.
Right.
Florida probably has too.
Yeah,
and so has Georgia. But at Alabama, most of them seem to come through and play pretty well. So I give them some credit for that. But when you got better players and you're coaching them better than most people, you're going to win a lot of football games.
The incredible X factor to me in the league, and really in the division as well, but in the league, the incredible X factor to me is LSU.
Mm-hmm.
So many good players, so much talent, so much depth, but they've not quite been Florida in the 90s and Alabama now. Why is that?
I think quarterback play is what's hurt him. And in fact, I had interviewed Ed Orgeron a while back about that, and I asked him about it. And he said, you know, you're right. We haven't got it done. He says, now, I got a couple of quarterbacks right now that they just signed that he likes a lot. One of them's named Narcisse. Another one has some Cajun name. I'm not sure I can pronounce it. But anyway,
right.
He feels like that is going to start LSU getting back on that winning edge. Because look at their quarterbacks. Talent-wise, if you go back to Jamarcus Russell, then forward, who have they had at quarterback? Mettenberger was pretty good.
Yeah.
But they've had a lot of guys that were pedestrian, a lot of guys that were kind of like what Florida's been playing with the last couple of years. So that has hurt them a little bit. And also they were running an antiquated offense. We visited with Marcus Spears, who played at LSU. He said it was so predictable, everybody knows what you're going to do. So that'll work against average teams. It will not work against the Floridas, the Alabamas, and the better teams on your schedule. And I think he's right.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Is Ogeron the right guy?
Well, I think he is, and I'll go back to the things I mentioned. He recruits well. The players play hard. He's got good coordinators. He's going to have to continue to have good coordinators to have success. Now, can he win 10 games over a 10-year period like Les Miles? Probably not. And they got rid of Miles. But one reason they will like it, Orgeron, probably a little bit more, is that not only is he one of them, but he's going to open up this offense. I mean, my goodness, it's hard to be more outdated than what they were doing, right?
Yeah, so it is.
If he throws two more passes, he's opening up the offense. But I think you'll see a little bit more trickery. What Matt Canada, the offensive coordinator, will do is opposed to just lining up in the eye and trying to beat you, he's going to move people around. He's going to formation you. He's going to make defenses move around and hopefully find matchups and hopefully confuse the defense a little bit. So you'll see a little bit different offense from LSU. Now, are they going to take a giant step offensively? Probably not, because they're not ready at quarterback. But they do have a couple of good receivers and a great running back.
All right. I always ask you to do this. Winner of the East, winner of the West, player of the year in the league, and then how deep does the winner go?
It'll be in the East. I've got Florida, Georgia, Tennessee.
In that order?
In that order.
Okay.
In the West, I've got Alabama, Auburn, LSU.
Okay.
I think the player of the year is going to be Darius Geis at LSU. I think he's going to run for about 1,800 yards. He ran for almost 1,400 yards, splitting time with Leonard Fournette, and he averaged about 8 yards a carry,
right.
And he had two 250-yard gains.
Okay.
The guy, I love him. He's
a great back.
And by the way, if you saw him, he was only like 5'8".
Yeah, boy, he had a strut about him, too, didn't he?
He did.
He was strutting from the minute he got in the door till the minute he got out of it.
And he was wearing a pink coat.
Yeah, he was.
The only person I've seen on Radio Row with a pink coat, but he could get away with it.
So Alabama and Florida go to Atlanta. Who wins that game?
Alabama's going to win it.
And how deep do they go?
I don't think they'll win the national championship. They'll be a second away again. I don't think this team will be quite as good as a year ago. He's lost too many good defensive players, I think.
Right.
Too many difference makers. He's still got some really good ones coming back. He's got an unbelievable array of running backs. They should be arrested for that. It's unbelievable how deep they go with that position. Offensive line's good. Receiver Calvin Ridley is as good as you're going to find in this league. But defensively, I don't think they're quite as good up front depth-wise.
Right.
I mean, they've got some guys that will be draft picks, okay, but they don't go six or seven deep up there like they've been going. So I think Alabama gets to the national championship game and loses to Ohio State.
Of the four, of the 14 coaches, any not coaching their team next year? Who would it be?
Oh, yeah.
Who are they?
Kevin Sumlin.
Okay, agreed.
And Hugh Freeze.
You think Hugh Freeze gets fired?
Yes.
I think he's going to survive it. I think
I
don't know, but somehow they love him. They love him there, don't they? I agree with you. You wouldn't imagine, would you, unless it turns in a hurry.
I think the NCAA stuff is going to unveil some other things that and then to get out of town, you know what? He's going to have to color his hair.
Jimmy Himes, who doesn't color his hair.
No way.
From the Sports Animal. Thank you, Jimmy.
Thanks, Frank.
Back in a moment in Birmingham at the SEC Media Days on 1010 XL at 92.5 FM.